Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Last time Paul George and Kawhi played in a playoff game together. So tomorrow will be the next playoff game for the Clippers. It'll be, this can't be, 676 days since those two played in a playoff game together. Kawhi signs with the Clippers. He makes them trade everything they'll ever have
for
Paul
that?
George.
I remember doing, we did a whole special on Get Up when he signed with, it was like, remember the plane? Like he was on the PJ flying into LA, meeting with everybody. It was like
the reigning finals MVP.
It was the most insane thing, the way we covered it. I felt like we turned into TMZ. That's what we did around it.
What was the big advertising billboard that they took out?
I think that was New Balance. It was New Balance, right?
New Balance, yeah. Took out this,
it's our city
LA now. It's our city now or something like
that. How about
that?
The commercial he had with the keys and everything, and there was a king. There was like a crown attached to the key. He was trolling LeBron, basically, in an ad. And and don't forget, LeBron tried to recruit him to the Lakers, but he was going to the Clippers instead. On paper, when you say Clippers going to clip, it's unbelievable. On paper, given what they've just done with the Suns so far, first without Paul George and then without Paul George or Kawhi, if they were healthy, I think they win the championship this year.
Well, how many times do we say that about?
You're right.
I can't tell you. Every time I hear us talk about Kawhi or Paul George for the last like 3-4 years –
If they were healthy.
If they were healthy. That's all. It prefaces everything about the Clippers. If they were healthy, they would.
How long are they saying he's going to be out, Jay?
I didn't even know he was hurt.
Me either.
Yet alone know how long he'll be out. But, like, to me, this goes back. Enes Kanter was talking about something on Twitter. He was doing a podcast with one of the trainers from the Spurs. Back in the day with the Kawhi Leonard situation, it was so interesting because the trainer, some of the people in the training crew got fired because they kept reporting that, like, yeah, we think Kawhi's okay, but he's telling us he's not okay. And they're like, oh, we're getting you guys out. And then when Kawhi all of a sudden just left and dipped out and went to Toronto and played, like, he's sitting there looking at Greg Popovich and the staff in San Antonio, like, what do you guys – been a theme that's kind of followed Kawhi. You don't really know what the real is.
I'm a big Kawhi Leonard fan. And by the way, it was 24 hours ago. We were sitting here going, man, the way Kawhi looks guarding KD, he might be the best player in this series. But you know my whole thing about that you and I argued about on First Take when I said he's more clutch than Kobe in his career so far in the playoffs? The fact is, Kobe in the same situation, you know what would happen. He would play.
He would play.
And then, by the way, he'd probably miss a lot of tough shots late in the game because he'd be hurt. But he'd be playing, and that's probably one of the reasons his stats in crunch time aren't what Kawhi. Like, Kawhi, I'm not questioning his toughness or stuff like that.
Not questioning his love for the game at all.
Not
either.
Questioning that, but I am giving extra credit to guys like Kobe who are performing at a level, and then no excuses like Kobe. He'd have to be, the limb would have to be falling off for him to come out of the game.
Can you know the question I didn't hear anybody ask Ty Lue or Russell Westbrook? I want to know when they found out Kawhi couldn't go. I want to know when.
I would think it would be they played game two when? When's game two? My days are all.
I have no idea what day it is. It's Friday, right? Hold on.
So Friday, Wednesday,
so game two was Tuesday?
Was it Tuesday?
They played Tuesday?
They play Tuesday? Travel?
Yeah, I guess to travel. Right, it's travel.
So I would think that they would know something's wrong with him after the game or that next morning when they go to the facility to get their treatment.
But apparently he was hurting already heading into game two. I heard nothing about it.
Nothing.
And he played through it. He played great, by the way.
Probably got worse as he played in game two. Because if he was hurt in game one, played in game two, probably re-injured, whatever it is, got worse, flamed up. Come and go to get the treatment, and then realize he couldn't go.
But see, this
can
is,
they can they win the series?
It's hard.
But like, it goes back to that load management thing, Key. And like, just before I answer your question, Max, it's like, yo, in order to win a championship, you have to win 16 playoff games. It's a 2-month grind. So this whole methodology about well, we're going to load manage and get him ready. It does a disservice to him, actually, because the way you get him ready is you have to condition your body for the endurance of the 2-month grind. And it's so this whole style that we're seeing for Kawhi, that's why he gets injured. Like when you're playing 38, 39, 40 minutes, you can't injured, whatever the word is, but that's why you get injured.
Let it go, huh?
Come on, man. Damn, if I would have did that, he'd have go get the clip, run it back next segment,
yeah.
Slow it down, look at my mouth, read my lips. He'd have did all that.
Matter of fact, can we clip that and claim it was Key who did it?
I haven't slept.
Yeah. Me either.
Listen, we're just looking at all kinds of stats. We showed them on ESPN, too. Kawhi and Paul George have played together in 22.7% of all Clippers games since they've been on last two seasons, including the playoffs. They've only both played together in not even 23% of the Clippers games.
See, the Clippers just – it's something about – it's just something. I don't know what it is. It's something hovering over this organization that won't allow them to get out of their own way. It's the unreal as can be. It no matter what superstars go to the Clippers, just it never works out. Never finds itself working out.
I mean, I give Brody and I give Norman Powell a lot of credit. I mean, they hooped out last night. It was still close.
Let's say Kawhi comes back, okay? And now it's 2-1. Obviously, Clippers are down. Can they win the series if Kawhi gets back, but obviously not Paul George? Can they win the series?
They should have. It's possible, yeah.
Because if that could happen, I know it's far-fetched, but if they could win the series, then Paul George gets healthy, who knows?
Well, when are you anticipating Kawhi Leonard coming back?
Though? Let's say he's back for the next game.
Then they could maybe tie it up. But can he stay healthy for the rest of the games? That would be a question.
It doesn't look good based on recent history, that's for sure.
Yeah, they can certainly come out of this thing in 6 or 7.
It's a sprained left knee, though. I mean, it was sustained during game one.
Good thing you don't need that for basketball.
But it's like, so I mean, it'll probably be back for game four, right? You take that day, come back. I mean, the thing that makes it tough is I think they're going to have, like, if it gets down to the stretch, they're going to have, like, 3 games in a span of, like, 5-6 days. It's going to be quick turnarounds towards the latter part of this stretch with the Clippers and Suns series.
Let me ask you this. The Brooklyn team.
It's going to be a tough one.
The Brooklyn super-duper team with KD and Kyrie and Harden was not nearly this deep as the Clippers, right? Because they had to move everything to get those guys together. But when they were healthy, or even 2 of them were healthy, they were destroying the world. This Clippers team has never operated on that high level, but because it's been several years, they've accumulated a squad that is not only awesome on top, but deep with excellent players and coached up and have played together for a while. But still, here we are, right? What's been the bigger failure, Jay? The Kawhi, Paul George Clippers, or the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie and Harden?
I would say the Clippers because they've been together longer.
Yeah, I would say the Clippers.
And
too,
like
yeah.
They've had more shots at it. Brooklyn, even though it was louder because of voices like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden deciding to leave the team essentially after forcing his way out of Houston to get to Philadelphia, it feels like that was a shorter stint that they were together as opposed to these 3-4 years that Kawhi and Paul George have been together and it hasn't panned out. And this goes all the way back to the bubble, man. Them being up 3-1 against Denver.
And on top of that, you didn't even factor in that the Clippers came with a superstar NBA winning head coach where Brooklyn was trying something with Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now all
they're
of a sudden,
the opposite.
Jacques Vaughn
Steve Nash
totally,
has zero experience. Ty Lue had a lot of experience.
All the experience in the world. You look at it, it's just a different, it's a complete failure if the Clippers can't do anything.
But I got to tell you guys, I hear what you're saying, and I know what you mean. Like, they're more of a team in all this. There was something extra sexy about the big three in Brooklyn. You know, Clippers always be little brother in L.A. It doesn't matter what happens. Lakers got too many chips. They're the number one brand. New York is a little bit ripe for the upstart because the Knicks have been dry with championships 50 years. The Clippers in Brooklyn, that's a borough hasn't had a major league franchise in any sport since the Dodgers left in the late 50s. Then the fact that all three of those dudes were together, the scoring, right? Like the three probably most incredible scorers or from all levels, all three levels ever at their size, right? All together, basically in their primes more or less on the same team. What they were doing to teams when they were kind of healthy, like the Bucks who won the chip, to me that's the bigger it's the bigger flame out. It's the more spectacular, oh my God, what could have been to me, the Nets.
But how many bites at the apple did they have?
Not a lot.
One, maybe.
You go back to the Clippers.
That one was the one against the Bucks. That was really the only real opportunity, right? That year. Because the last year
they got swept by Boston, but it wasn't the same because of James Harden. Yeah.
And then the year before the foot was what, the pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, it's true. I just this one's a killer too. I just want to see this team healthy.
I feel bad for people like Clipper Darryl, though.
I'm sure you do.
I'm gonna tell y'all something. I mean, depending upon Kawhi, that was a game last night.
It was
without Kawhi Leonard. So, like, the bigger thing for me, as much as we're gonna talk about the Clippers, it makes me look at the Suns differently. Like everybody's like, "Oh, the Suns are live." I'm like, "Yes, they have a chance to be live, but." They're barely getting by a Clipper team without Kawhi and Paul George.
Or maybe it should make us look at Russell Westbrook differently. Because Westbrook, in the right situation, you put some shooters around him and all that, and he has the ball. It's basically the same guy he's always been. He's more or less the same guy who was a superstar. But we don't think – we think when Paul George and Kawhi are out, okay, they don't have any superstars. Yeah.
Russ had 30-12-8.
30-12. See what I mean?
It's 30-12-8.
Key, as you would say, same thing. Same thing. 30-12-8.
No, he's Westbrook from OKC is what that was last night. I mean, it was his team essentially last night, and I think he knew that without Kawhi on the floor, he had to do more, had to do extra. And I don't know where did that come from, Norman Powell, Jay? Where did that come from?
He can play.
Where did that come from last night?
I mean, Norman Powell can put up. He's putting up buckets in Toronto, man.
Terrence Mann can do that. Terrence Mann, you could be, oh, really? He dropped 30? Yeah, he could do that, yeah. They got a lot of guys on that team.
Yeah, I feel bad for Clipper Darryl.
No Draymond, no problem for the Warriors.
Draymond Blue.
Jay Will. He played basketball. Was he right when he said, no, it's not a must-win for the Warriors, it's a must-win for the Kings. But the Warriors won. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Rodney in New York, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I got a question. I want to talk about Draymond Green.
Yeah, duh.
Draymond Green, as if there was.
Is there another Draymond?
Draymond Blue. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Jay, your take after Draymond Green was suspended for game three heading into the game. And actually, you told me to use it on TV, and I didn't because I thought, nah, he's nuts.
See?
Yeah. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, maybe he's onto something, but it was too late. But I was like, look, this is a must-win game for the Warriors, and they don't have Dre. This series is over because this is going to – I figured De'Aaron Fox, he's coming, and maybe the Warriors could hold him off at home, but it's going to be tough without Dre. Jay said, nah, it's a must-win game for Sacramento because they take advantage of this. They can end the series. But if they don't, and they didn't because Steph and Clay – these guys answered the bell like – champs.
You heard what Steph said after the game. He said, oh, everybody says Draymond has history. We have history. Like, yeah, we champions out here.
Steph has let's not go down this hole, but this is my interpretation, okay?
Steph has, we're about to go down the hole.
That's not gone in a hole, but you
but
get ready to
like,
go down
I'm going to say something. This is my opinion. If you don't
yeah, but
to
don't
litigate
say it if you don't want us to go down the hole.
No, because I have an opinion.
He can't help himself.
I can't. No, in other words, like, I'm not going to not say my opinion because you guys disagree, but I understand you disagree.
You don't know what we agree with.
You haven't said it yet. Steph has turned himself into, over time, a money-on-the-line player, which I don't believe he's always been. The deeper in the playoffs, the bigger it was, even when they were winning, and he contributed to it because he still creates space, makes the right play, et cetera, et cetera. But he was sloppy with the ball at times in the past. He would look a little nonchalant. I'm thinking about the behind-the-back in 2016 in the fourth quarter. He would miss shots. He wouldn't take shots. Over time, with reps in these situations, Steph has gotten to be a money on the line
get him, Jay.
Killer. Well, I mean,
get him if you want to waste some minutes.
If you want to, go into that, but he really, this is how they're the defending champs, and he showed up like a defending champ.
Get him, Jay. I
don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. I
understand
I'm
you
tired.
Feel differently. That's my opinion.
I'm tired, Key. I'm tired.
Yeah, but you could tell out the gate, though, that this was going to be a different game with Golden State. They're at home. They struggled on the road. We obviously saw that throughout the regular season and then in Sacramento the first two games. But you could tell the giddy-up, the hustle, the way that they were playing up and down the floor on both ends of the floor. It was a totally different outcome. And you are right, Jay, what you said the other day about this game is more important for Sacramento because now it's 2-1 and you got another game right now with Draymond coming back at home to even the score at 2-2. So now it's a totally different situation. They get the 2-2. They've been in this position before, okay, the Golden State Warriors. Sacramento's never been in this position. So the youth will kick in when the veterans, you expect for them to that veteran leadership to kick in with Draymond and Steph and Thompson and company. So 2-2 going back to Sacramento is different than 3-1 going back to Sacramento.
I know what I'm not going to allow to happen today, Key, because I saw it happening last night on Twitter, and I was like, what are we doing? What, stop.
After I'm you not- bought your check?
After I bought my check. Yo, don't let people fool you with this narrative. Well, Golden State is better without Draymond Green. That is inaccurate. That is false, and
well,
that
at
is
home,
wrong.
Too.
They, Key, you know this. I'm sure you've had role players on your squads. When you're at home, role players are way more comfortable. Like, yeah. Kevon Looney had 6 offensive rebounds in the first half. I mean, he kept so many things, so many plays alive. Dante DiVincenzo played with extra pop. And by the way, they cut down on their turnovers and they won the rebounding margin.
Looney was key because he had to step up in Draymond's absence.
Exactly.
Identify Bon Temps was talking on this just in yesterday, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN. He was talking about this yesterday. Of course, Looney stepped up and did exactly what I thought he was great, Jay. I thought he was great, and he had to be great without Dre.
I am going to say this because I was surprised. Obviously, Steph went off last night. But I don't know why Mike Brown didn't play Davion Mitchell more minutes. And I'm not saying that Davion Mitchell would have stopped Steph, but what you want to do against Steph is you want to fatigue him over time, right? Like Max and I were talking about this during the break about how many miles Steph runs per game. Like it is perpetual movement. Davion Mitchell is the one guy that, you know, game two he played 28 minutes that has the endurance, the conditioning to just be a pest with Steph, to get his legs to be a little bit tired so those shots are somewhat short at the end of games. And he only played 18 minutes last night. I don't know why Mike Brown didn't play him more. He went more with Keegan Murray and Kevin Huerter, and maybe he's just getting them reps. And, you know, wants to get their shooting touches involved in a game. But I thought he should have played Davion Mitchell a lot more last night.
Most
I think it was
games,
a miss by Mike Brown.
Most career games with 30 points and 5 3-pointers made in NBA history. Steph is lapping the field. Harden has 17. Klay has 13. But Steph and Harden are primary ball handlers. That's the better comparison. Harden has 17. Steph has 38. He's more than doubled Harden.
So not just Draymond Green now is out. They had their best defensive performance of the playoffs without Draymond Green and Gary Payton the second.
But you're right. They're at home.
They're going to
– the pressure's – they must defend home court because they've been bad on the road, and they still have to get at least one road game to win the series.
And the veteran leadership, though, you got to look to that, though. You got to look to the understanding the pressure points and being in certain positions. They've been in this position before. They've never been down 2-0, but they've been in this position where they've been 2-2. They've been going on the road down one and still coming out on top. In terms of that graphic that you talked about with Steph Curry and James Harden, primary ball handlers with Steph basically is lapping him, he's played in more postseason games than James Harden, correct?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I assume so, yes, because they've made deeper runs. So you have to, of course, yeah. But Steph, like a lot of the reason is Steph is there. Steph is like, you know, when Jay talks about he runs 4.5 miles a game, if you took someone with Steph's skill set, which he invented. There was no school skill set like Steph until Steph came around. That kind of mobile artillery unit where he can shoot from half court and also has great handles, right? If you took that skill set, you would want him to play just like Steph applies it, right? He's so active. He moves without the ball constantly. The ball doesn't stick. Like, it's the exact use of that guy that he uses himself and the team uses him exactly as you would prescribe it.
And by the way, they contained De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Like, those are two guys that we've been talking consistently about, them beating them off the dribble. All right, so just get ready for this lineup that you're going to see a huge dose of. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, Payton, and Draymond at the five.
Mm-hmm. Payton was sick yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and that was bizarre, too. That was just random. That he just, you know, called out to be sick.
That happens.
Yeah.
You know, man, guy get a little bug in the middle of the night.
But you're going to see that lineup a lot. And by the way, Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole didn't even play well last night. I mean, Klay got a little bit on at the end, but they didn't even play well.
TV guys killing it with the graphics today. Let me see that graphic about Draymond again, guys. Because you're right, Jay. At home, the role players play better. And Kevon Looney was excellent last night, and he had to be, and the Warriors won. But look at this. This season without Dre, and here's the thing, the point differential, they're 41-32, they have a winning record with him, and they score 120 points a game. Without him, they're 3-6, they lose twice as much as they win, in a smaller sample size, obviously. They score 111 points a game, but here's the big thing, the point differential. They go from +3 with him on the floor this year to -7 in games without him, right?
That would be
the fourth worst in the NBA over the course of a season. He is an enormous factor in terms of the point differential.
The Warriors are 14 points better per 100 possessions with Draymond on the floor this season versus him off the floor.
Yeah, wow.
Like, that's how much better this team is.
Offense and defense, because he facilitates the offense.
Yes, he does both.
And yet, without him, as I tried to explain to Jay yesterday, without him, the Kings had to take advantage, Jay.
You're the worst.
Jay.
Yeah.
Williams went to Duke.
Steph
played
Curry was in the zone last
Williams.
Night. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Did the officials get it wrong in Sixers Nets? KJM.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
10 seconds to go. Layup blocked by Embiid. Joel Embiid all night long. Battered, bruised. Pass toward half court, turnover. Melton's got it. 6 seconds to go. He flushes it. And the Philadelphia 76ers take a stranglehold on this first round series.
It was all for the win. You know, just fighting out there. That was the biggest thing. And, you know, we just battled through and was able to hold our composure, really. That was the name of the game, composure.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And join now by star of stage and screen, frequent contributor on This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host, Tim Bontemps, Timmy Goodtimes.
How are we doing, fellas? Timmy. Boring night last night. Nothing happened.
Really boring night.
Really boring.
What'd you think about the officiating yesterday? We've been talking about it all morning.
I can't believe you're talking about the refs today. Why would you be doing that? It was a wild night. I mean, I thought the Joel Embiid play was officiated the way I would have called it. I thought it was going to be a flagrant one. I think you could certainly see that what Joel was trying to do there, but ultimately I didn't think he really caught Nick Claxton very much on the play. They have a history going back to January. They got into it back then. Obviously, Claxton was trying to get him to do something. He did. But I thought that was fine. I was blown away by the James Harden ejection.
Was it a makeup call? Did they feel like maybe Embiid got away with one and they got to make it up now?
I mean, look, I thought it was going to be a common foul. I didn't think it was going to even be a flagrant one. I was literally stunned when it was a flagrant two, and everybody on press row had the same reaction. Like, nobody was expecting that.
So why do you think they did that, though, Tim?
I mean, look, Monty McCutchen came on immediately after and said he hit him in the groin. Tony Brothers said it in the pool report after the game. I didn't think he did at first. I mean, I guess maybe that's what happened. Maybe they were trying to rein things in because it was a pretty intense physical game both ways. The big picture thing is the Sixers are hoping to have a long playoff run. James Harden now has 2 flagrant foul points. That could end up coming back to cost them later.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Because if you have 4, you lose a game. He's already halfway there. We'll see if it gets changed today. But, I mean, look, there's been a lot of talk about the refs this week. I think it's safe to say, and that's usually not a good thing for the NBA.
So, Tim, I disagree with you on the first one. I thought Joel Embiid should have got ejected for it.
I don't have an issue with you thinking that either. Like, to me, it was a very borderline call. If you want to say it was a 2, you want to say it was a 1. Like, if they'd come back and said Joel's ejected for that, I don't think anybody would have been stunned.
Yeah.
But I was stunned by the Harden one.
Yeah, I was stunned by the Harden one, too. I guess what I was hot about is I just want there to be consistency, right? Because and I know we've been talking about this for a while, but 2 days ago we had one guy who was the agitator in Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
And then we had the reactor, right?
Yeah.
So I look at – and then I make that and I translate it to this and I make it applicable. I say, okay, well, we have the agitator in Nick Claxton, and then we have the reactor in Joel Embiid who reacted that way. But didn't seem like the kick. Like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, that's just.
I would say the difference between this play and the Draymond play is Draymond did like a WWE stomp on Domantas Sabonis, right? And like whether he could have landed somewhere else or didn't, it was a pretty demonstrative thing that he did.
It wasn't demonstrative with Joel Embiid. Well, he tried to kick him in the family jewels.
I understand, but my point is Joel Embiid didn't really connect whereas Draymond literally launched off the guy's chest.
So if Nick Claxton had acted as if Joel Embiid had connected.
Well, I mean, Nick Claxton did act like him. I mean, you can see right there, like he went down like a ton of bricks. I mean,
I would have rolled over. I would have started crying. Well, oh, I would have been holding
I think,
it. Look at that.
I
Damn.
Think he hit him in the back of the leg. I'm not trying to defend Joel here.
I hear Claxton's questionable for game four. Well,
look,
no, not really.
I'm saying that if he had really connected, I think he would have immediately got tossed. I think the fact that he kind of connected and didn't really, and Claxton did a good job of selling it, made it a one.
And Jay, they were so on the fence about it that I think is part of the reason they tossed
it. It's hard to argue that as like the idea that it was a makeup call. And look, to your point about selling it, the NBA now has an issue where guys, and you guys both watch these games, you know this, mm-hmm. because they go to the review and look for these flagrant fouls, right? There's this massive incentive to sell every time there's contact and try to get a flagrant foul. Like I think it was in game two, Joel went to the rim, got fouled, looked back to see if the ball went in, and then went down and grabbed at his head. You know, like
that's the worst.
But everybody is doing this because it's like there's a real, like you get a flagrant foul, it's two shots in the ball. Like you can have a significant swing in the game if it gets called that way.
So this is a missed opportunity for Brooklyn, because what I would have told Brooklyn to do if I were advising him is, Let's send something to Will. Just say, you know, he's going to get groin x-rays.
Exactly.
Let's talk about, we're not sure if he's going to be probable for game four. You know, but that's the gamesmanship that goes into all this that makes me lose my mind, Tim.
Tim, let me ask you this question.
What we got, Key?
Jay thinks that I'm, you know, far off on this. You think the referees factor in past behavior between the two incidents, one with Draymond and one with Embiid, although Embiid has 7 technical fouls, but Draymond has such a long history of what people would deem as bad behavior?
No, I think if Embiid had connected more solidly with what he did there, I think he gets tossed. I think it's that simple.
What's solid, though?
Well, if he'd actually landed in his
he missed
midsection.
The bullseye, yeah. As I mean, opposed to Harden who hit the bullseye.
Yeah, I think
but the intent's the same.
I think they look.
But the effect has.
I agree.
Effect on, you
know. I'm not trying to justify. I'm just looking at what they did
with the knee.
I'm not trying to defend Joel Embiid here. I'm just looking at what happened, and I think that's why he stayed in the game.
Do you think the refs were affected by the reaction? Like the way the reaction of how Nick Claxton reacted as opposed to how Sabonis reacted?
I mean, Nick Claxton, I mean, look, I think it was the same thing either way. I mean, look, again, the Draymond thing, he literally launched himself off the guy's chest. Like, I can understand why he got ejected for that. It was not like anybody went away. Like, nobody was surprised or saying Draymond should not have been ejected from game two, right? The issue was the suspension for game three.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was going to get ejected when they went to the replay for game two. Like, there was really no debate about it. He launched himself up in the air. The issue was then the additional penalty last night, but I was glad to see Golden State won because now that's not a factor, and we can just talk about the rest of the series.
Boy, did they win.
Mm. Tim Bontemps joined us this morning, ESPN NBA reporter on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tim, how surprised were you that all of a sudden yesterday, I guess it was around yesterday afternoon, we learned that Kawhi Leonard would not join his team in the game against the Suns, but they still tried to pull it through. It didn't quite happen the way they wanted it to. Westbrook had a great game. How surprised were you that he didn't play?
I was stunned. I got a notification from my buddy Om Young Masuk saying that Kawhi wasn't going to play, and I was floored. I was eating dinner before I went over to the Sixers-Nets game, and I mean, Kawhi had been unbelievable the first 3 games in the series. He looked every bit like the prime Kawhi that has a chance to, you know, is arguably the best player on the planet. Was going toe-to-toe with KD, and it was a huge bummer. Like, you look at this series, no Paul George probably throughout the series, as Woj has reported, and now, you know, who knows if Kawhi's going to be able to play in one of these games. You know, the Clippers are going to potentially go down as much of a what-if team as you know, the KD Kyrie Nets, when you look back on it, potentially, right? Like, we're 4 years in. These guys haven't had one full healthy playoff run together.
We had a whole segment on which was the bigger disappointment between those two teams.
I mean, Tim, is there any word on if Kawhi's going to come back and play in game 4? Like that?
I don't know.
I have to ask you about this before we get out of here. there's just so much history with how Kawhi communicates injuries to organizations, right? They're going all the way back to the Spurs. Like, do you think there's some buyer's remorse from the Clippers and Ty Lue about the lack of communication about whether their best player is going to be available throughout the course of the year? Because this is an ongoing thing, man.
I mean, look, I think when the Clippers acquired Kawhi in the first place, like, it's not like this wasn't the way things were before, right? Like, you know, there was the whole thing that happened with the Spurs, and then he, you know, certainly managed himself during that season with the Raptors. Just, I mean, obviously the torn ACL is just bad luck, right? Like, I mean, a lot of it's just luck, I think. Kawhi or Paul George bangs knees in a game, hurts his knee, right? Like,
luck and just, timing.
Yeah, they've just had bad luck.
Well, based on what you've seen, now without Kawhi or Paul George, Kawhi might be the best player in this series. Oh my God, bad matchup for KD, everything. Now, no Kawhi, and it's still a tight game, right? Based on what you've seen, if the Clippers were at full strength, would you say they are the favorites to go all the way, or you still like Denver more than this Clippers team?
They've gotten throttled by Denver time and time again over the past few years, so I would probably
bad
say
matchup
Denver.
For them.
They've never been able, like, going back to the bubble, they've never handled Denver well.
They were up 3-1, and then Jamal Murray started hitting threes, and that was that.
They blew every one of those games. They're up, I think, 20 in each of them. That was one of the stranger things I've ever seen, that series. But even since then, they've never played them well. I don't know if they'd have beat them, but you certainly would have thought, you look how the series has played out, Clippers look like a deeper version of what the Suns are, if healthy. Obviously, they're not. And to me, now, for Phoenix going forward, they got to win these next two games, whether Kawhi comes back or not, because they're playing their guys so many minutes. Last night, Chris Paul plays 41, KD plays 42, Devin Booker plays 45. Those guys are having to play 40, 42, 45 minutes every single night. Yeah. They cannot afford to have this go extra games, because Denver looks like they're going to cruise over Minnesota, and they're going to be waiting next weekend for that series to start at altitude. Yep. And if Denver, you know, Phoenix goes in, they're having to play six games, maybe seven games against this Clipper team, it's going to be very hard for them to win that series. So I think they got to get this thing done as soon as possible and get their guys a break.
Go get some sleep. You did a podcast at 2 in the morning.
I got TV all day, including the hit show that's just in at 2. Got Knicks Cavs tonight. Got Keys Lakers tomorrow. Huge NBA weekend. 11 playoff games.
Tim Bontemps got a lot of stuff to do.
Excited.
We're going to get into the NFL draft coming up. And CJ Stroud, KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh. Seems like a lot of years there is a quarterback who is the presumptive, or one of the presumptive top picks, who slides. A quarterback who's thought, maybe he might go first. He's in the conversation with maybe one other guy, sometimes two, who's going to go first. And then their consensus forms around the number one guy. And all of a sudden, the guy who's maybe going to go two is the last guy to go in the first round of the quarterbacks, right? Something like that. I'm thinking of Justin Fields, for example. Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? Then we start hearing Mac Jones, and we start hearing Trey Lance, and we still all these guys. And it turns out Justin Fields didn't go in the top 10. Well, is C.J. Stroud that guy this year? According to Brady Quinn, C.J. Stroud blew off the Manning Passing Academy. Could that be a reason why suddenly he's not considered the number one overall pick? It seems far-fetched. However, here's the quote from Brady Quinn. I've been told he committed to the Manning Passing Academy the night before and just kind of ghosted him, didn't show up. He said this on his Pick 6 podcast. That's football royalty. And when you do that, it's going to set off some alarms for people like, hey, man, that's not how you conduct yourself, especially around the Manning family or just in general if you're going to be a franchise quarterback. He's the most accurate quarterback in this draft class. He showcased his athletic ability. Anytime I've been around the kid, it says athleticism ability here. I'm going to guess he meant athletic ability, or it's a misquote. Anytime I've been around the kid, he's been an upstanding young man who's grown and matured into a leader I think NFL teams are looking for, end quote. So here Brady Quinn is saying, look, what could explain why C.J. Stroud suddenly goes from, is it going to be him or Bryce Young, to Will Levis is the second odds, you know, according to the odds favorite after Bryce Young. And C.J. Stroud is sometimes seen as maybe he could even fall to the Raiders, right? Well, that story did not sit well with our colleague here at ESPN, Ryan Clark, who went at Quinn on Twitter. I guess if – did he go on at Quinn on Twitter? He said that Stroud –
yes, he blasted Quinn on Twitter.
He blasted him? He said Stroud never committed to the Manning Academy. What do you make of this, guys? What do you think, Kate?
Well, I start off by saying, yes, the Manning family has certainly – lived up to certain expectations in the National Football League. Dad was a great quarterback. Obviously, Peyton Manning's a Hall of Famer, won championships. Eli took the city of New York by storm, won championships, Super Bowls and Pro Bowls and the whole deal. They're not such royalty that if you decide that you don't want to attend their academy, that it's going to affect you in the NFL draft. So wherever Brady Quinn got that from, I can't put too much into that. I don't think that has anything to do with the way people may feel about C.J. Stroud at the quarterback position. You know, players make commitments all the time, and sometimes they're solid commitments, and sometimes they're pass-by commitments, which means that, hey, yeah, if I'm available, I'll come. Doesn't mean that he's going to go. Now, Ryan Clark says – he didn't make the commitment to go. And if he did make a commitment to go to the Manning camp, so damn what? Who's to say he can't change his mind? Like, come on now. That has nothing to do with it. What has something to do with it, teams have changed their mind on what they want to do with the picks at the top of the draft. Mm. If it is, in fact, the Panthers taking Bryce Young, and if it is, in fact, Will Anderson going to the Houston Texans in Arizona Cardinals, Jay, doing something different with their pick at 3. And Will Levis potentially going to Indianapolis because he fits. He fits. Okay, let's not be silly here. He fits the region. He fits the city. He fits the pass style of quarterback that they've drafted. So that doesn't mean that he's sliding because of character issues. It just means that teams are going in a different direction on what they want to pick at the top of the draft.
Jay, it seems to me, though, Brady Quinn's looking for a reason here. Like he said, he's the most accurate. He's athletic. How could he be slipping? So he's looking for a reason.
I just feel like this always happens. Things like this happen before drafts and people have ample time. They try to find, well, what's a reason why maybe his character may not lead to him being drafted high? Yeah, I'm with Key. That whole thing is lame to me. I guess, like, he committed the night before. And then so when has something changed overnight?
Lakers Cup talk coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.